This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Amen. This is a day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's great to be alive on this second evening. It's the second time I'm here at the Plantation Church, and I've been enjoying the music so far. We want to praise God for the might and ministry of Sister Monica all the way from Colombia. It was an awesome song. I have been truly blessed. And that's how heaven will be, that such melodious singing. And I'm truly being blessed by that song, Sister Monica. I want to praise God for all the persons who have been instrumental in this wonderful initiative, bringing the church together in prayer. I want to just say, give God thanks for my big brother, Pastor Joe, the team, Pastor Jennifer, and all the leaders and officers of this church. You have a wonderful pastor. I've always said to many of my friends who are pastors, I've always said that many persons want to be known as great preachers and teachers of the word, but at the end of the day, it's better to be known as a good Christian person, because only the relationship with God will save you. And so your pastor, he's a good Christian man, and he's a good friend of mine, and we praise God for him and his wife and the pastoral team here at Plantation Church. If you have your Bibles, journey with me to the book of Habakkuk. The Lord is leading me in a different season today. I had a different sermon looking at Jesus' life, but God has led me in this way, and so let's get right into the word. Habakkuk chapter 3, a very familiar passage of scripture, verses 17 to 19. Habakkuk, if you're having challenges finding Habakkuk, those of you who are watching on YouTube and in Facebook, if you know where Ezekiel is, after Ezekiel comes Daniel, then Joel, then Amos, Jonah, Micah, and then you'll find Habakkuk. Amen. You found it. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. The Bible says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, Habakkuk says in verse 18, yet I will rejoice. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Verse 19 says, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet or deer's feet. And he will make me walk upon high places. I want to preach and teach on the caption, I am praying my way through. I'm praying my way through. Bow your heads with me as we bless this word. Oh God, your voice makes the difference. When you speak, you relieve our troubled mind. It is the only voice we want to hear tonight that will make the difference. We will follow you one day at a time. Oh, loving Heavenly Father, we come in this moment, in this preaching moment, not because of all our righteousness, because all our righteousness are like filthy rags. But God, as I kneel in front of you, I ask that you stand in my body, Holy Ghost. Use me now in a meaningful manner. May you send angels of excellent strength to take up their places, move through the YouTube channel and the Facebook, and help somebody to find hope in Jesus Christ in these times. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has died on Calvary's cross for sins. And so, Lord, we pray for those who are broken, for those who are going through some issues, that you'll give them the assurance tonight that faith is still the victory that overcomes the world. So let the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are our strength and our redeemer. Let the church say, amen, amen. I'm praying and praising my way through. A few months ago, I was perusing through the virtual pages of the internet on my iPad. And a very interesting and intriguing article caught my attention on my news feed. Kenneth Copeland, infamous televangelist and pastor, shared with his congregation and by extension told the world leaders to look to him because he has the cure for this corona crisis. Copeland said, and I quote, "All I would have to do is blow puff on the virus and it would be gone." My brothers and sisters, I laughed to myself when I read this article because though I can't find hope and assurance in the cure that Copeland claims to have, it is clear by what's happening all around us that we're living in the last days. The signs of the time are appearing everywhere, and we can't look to man-made interventions to find the answers to our problems. Our only hope is to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Yes, these are unprecedented times, times of anxiety and great economic instability. But though we live in a time of uncertainty, we must trust God's sovereignty. God is still in control. And if you're not too bougie, if you're not too proud to put that in the chat room and in that YouTube channel chat or Facebook, let somebody know that God is still in control. Here in this Old Testament narrative from the book of Habakkuk, the Bible reveals to us that the nation of Israel was facing a national crisis. They had broken the everlasting covenant, not heeded to the principles and protocols outlined by the Word of God. And now, because of their disobedience and spiritual apostasy and idolatry, a perplexing, perilous pandemic had covered the whole nation like a black cloth of darkness. Through the prophetic ministry of Jeremiah the prophet, the Lord warned the children of Israel of captivity by the Babylonians and a plague that would devour the land. Now they were in that plague, my brothers and sisters. Now they were in that pandemic. Just like we are in today, the crops were obliterated and devoured by locusts and asinine insects. There was no food nor water because of the famine. Pestilence and other airborne diseases now threaten livelihood and livestock. Yet amidst all this tension, amidst all of this stress and distress, here comes Habakkuk, the minor prophet, to come and deliver a message to God's people. Now, because of the circumstances of this crisis that came upon the land, Habakkuk was greatly distressed. Here it is. Come here, plantation. Walk with the preacher. Habakkuk was greatly distressed. Why was Habakkuk distressed? Habakkuk felt as if he had the burden of Israel on his shoulders. He cries out to the Lord in a series of prayers. Every day Habakkuk gets up, he gets on his knees and he cries out to the Lord. He's wrestling with God on his knees. He's crying out to God, begging for deliverance, begging for a breakthrough for God's people. And sometimes, church, like Habakkuk, lately I feel this way. I have been pleading with God, begging God to let this virus blow over, begging God to remove this virus so we can get back to church and lift up our praises to God. Somebody say amen. So all we can do, my friends, here it is. Habakkuk, he prays to God, begging God. And this is what Habakkuk says in chapter 1. If you turn your Bibles there, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2 to 3, hear the anguish of the prophet. He says, here it is. Habakkuk asks the question, Lord, how long will I cry and you will not answer? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? Will you not save us? God replies by saying to Habakkuk, I will use the Babylonians as judgment upon the nation. This is the sweetest part. Here it is. This announcement sends Habakkuk on his knees in a praying position. But when he hears from God, he lifts up his head and he leaves a praying position to a praising position. Because though Habakkuk can't understand God's plan, he wants to trust God's heart. I wish I had somebody who knows what I'm talking about. You have been there, young people. I've been there. Older folks, you've been there. You can't understand what God's doing, but you're saying, God, I can't see a way out, but just take the wheel. Take it from my hand. I'm going to let go. I'm not going to fight this guy in this relationship. He's crazy. I'm trying to navigate my way through. But God, take the wheel. I can't find the tuition to pay my bills, to pay my student loan or my student's tuition. I can't find the bills to pay the mortgage. But God, just take the wheel. Hashtag take the wheel. And I'm going to just trust the process. All of 2020 into 2021, my hashtag on my Instagram page has been just trust the process. The question is, though Habakkuk can't understand God's plan, he trusts God's heart and he acknowledges that the just shall live by faith. And so the question that puzzles me is, what do you do, my brother and sisters, when you're faced with life's troubles and trials? What do you do when all hope seems lost? What do you do when you can't find the answer in a crisis? May I suggest to you humbly today, trust God's plan, because as Christians, we have to live by faith. There is a quotation that says, let your faith be bigger than your fears. Faith, what is faith? Hebrews 11 verse 4 says, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So in these times as Christians, it's not for us to live in fear of the virus, but to live by faith, not to run away from church, but to run into God's presence. Here it is. I don't want to hit you, but I'm not to try to miss you either. The fact of the matter is, we all want to go to Walmart, but we don't want to worship. You don't want to miss, you don't talk with me. You don't want to talk with me. Many of us want to go to Walmart and we'll go up and down past all kind of people with all kind of diseases, but you don't want to come into God's presence to worship. You want to go to Publix, but you don't want to praise. I wish I had a church. If you can't say amen, just say ouch. If you can't say amen, you want to go to Walmart all day, buy all the stuff, but you don't want to go and spend time in worship. You got to find yourself in Publix to buy the food to eat, but you don't want to praise God for giving you the money to buy the food. God is calling on his people, just like Jehoshaphat. When trouble comes, the Bible says the children of Israel went into the sanctuary, for thy name is in the sanctuary. We need now more than ever, my brothers and sisters, to cry out to God for deliverance from this pandemic. That's why the song says, my faith looks up to thee, O Lamb of Calvary. My faith has found a resting place, not in a man-made creed. I trust the ever-living one. To him I will plead. I need no other evidence. I need no other plead. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. All we can do in these last days of uncertainty is to live by faith. The prophet understands that even though life will throw in your faces unusual circumstances, he knew, like the songwriter, that God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you can't, when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. The prophet surrenders to this thought and asks the question, how can a God use something bad to turn it around for his good. And I can just imagine hearing God saying to Habakkuk, all through Habakkuk chapter 1, he's praying to God, praying and praying, listening and praying, wrestling with God. He's not satisfied. He's still on his knees. See this wild-haired prophet. See this crazy prophet. In the middle of a desert, there is no food, no water, but he's lifting up his hands to glory, and he's prayed. He's waiting for an answer from God. And God says to Habakkuk, I can use circumstances outside of my will to bring you to my will. Oh, you missed this shout. God can use circumstances outside of my will to bring you to my will. Well, let me put it where you can catch it. Just this week, I read an article where the Tyndale House Publishing Company, one of several companies that sells Bibles and other religious texts, they say they have seen a 60% jump in the sales for Bibles during this pandemic. An executive told the Christian Post that this isn't the first time people have turned to the company to buy Bibles in a crisis. This is a good thing, my brothers and sisters, because as I said yesterday, COVID-19 intended the virus to be for bad, but God is turning it around for his good. Will somebody say amen? This is a good thing because here it is. The COVID-19 crisis, persons are buying Bibles more than ever because people are searching the scriptures to find hope and to find truth. That ought to make you say amen. That ought to make you say hallelujah on the chat. Because even though COVID-19 is a bad thing, God is allowing people to be locked in their houses and to read the word. Hallelujah for the word of God. This is a good thing because amidst this virus, people are reading the word. In these dark times, thank God, people are searching for truth. We need to get every church online. We need to get every church online and push this online thing so the preaching of the gospel can go all over the world, because the Bible says in Matthew 24, verse 14, until this gospel is preached to all nations, then shall the end come. I have a friend, he's a Gnostic, he doesn't believe in God, he believes in New Age culture, he believes in Illuminati, he wears a large rim, he says, I don't believe in God, but now this COVID-19 thing has caused him to look beyond his unbelief, and to call me out of the blue to say, Jovan, hey, listen, hey, my brother, listen, I don't believe in your God, but something strange is happening in this world, I heard you talk about Revelation, can you tell me about the prophecies, and I was willing and I was able to witness to him, and slowly but surely he's coming to Jesus. There is no secret what the word of God can do. Habakkuk tells the people of God, hard times are coming upon us, and a pandemic is going to mess up everything that we know as normalcy. But isn't it so interesting? Here it is. God gives a word of warning to a man whose name means to embrace or hold on to. You missed that. Sister Dion, only Sister Dion got that in this place. The name Habakkuk means to hold on to hope. But God gives a prophet whose name means hope a crazy message. The prophet's name reminds the people that despite what they're going through, they must still hold on to God. God allows the same messenger of doom to have a name of hope and assurance. Today I'm no messenger of doom or gloom, but I want to remind somebody who's about to give up amidst this pandemic to keep hope alive, for a change is coming. Joy is coming in the morning. And you may ask the question, preacher, how can I still be positive and have hope when God is allowing so much negativity to surround me? And this is what the prophet is wrestling with God about. But hear what Habakkuk decides to do. Habakkuk says, come what may, I'm going to take my attention off the dark days and put my attention on divine deliverance. Oh, you missed it. I'm going to take my attention off these dark days and put my attention on divine deliverance. Because if I stop looking around me and start looking up above me, I can still be positive even though negativity has broken out all around me. And I want to tell somebody watching on Facebook, on YouTube, I want to tell somebody, don't let what's happening around you make you forget who your God is. God is not dead. He's seated on his throne. He's a present reality. Oh, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in my time of trouble. That's why the psalmist David says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Hallelujah! My help comes from the Lord. My help is not in a man-made creed. My help is in the Lord. The first point is accept your plight. The text tells us in verse 17 of chapter 3, though the fig tree shall bear no blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, though the fields have no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall, yet, verse 18 says, yet I will rejoice. You see, acknowledging your plight helps you to accept the reality of the problem. In other words, by shifting our position to a more positive perspective, we can find hope amidst our plight and predicament. The fact of the matter is, around us, yes, there is a pandemic. Nothing looks good. Schools are closed. Church services are canceled. Social distancing is becoming frustrating and annoying. The virus is becoming nauseating and overwhelming. These were similar circumstances that Habakkuk saw the children of God in. But yet in all of this, the prophet decides not to let anything steal his joy. Habakkuk chooses to have a positive perspective or a positive position amidst negative opposition, which leads me to my second point. Number one, accept your plight. Number two, acclaim your praise. Amidst all the tension, the prophet says, yet I will rejoice. The word yet is a coordinative conjunction that connects and separates at the same time. Yet I will rejoice. It changes the context. The word yet, when I used to teach English language in Jamaica, I would tell my students the word but and yet are coordinative conjunction that separates and connects at the same time. It changes the context of what comes after altering the situation. Before, you're going to die. Yet, God is going to change things around for you to live. I see all the madness that surrounds me. A crazy president who doesn't want to leave the White House. A failing economy. Black lives being marginalized. Hashtag Black Lives Still Matter. But yet I will rejoice. Because before the word yet, everything seems to look bad. But after the word yet, the prophet seeks to change his perspective for good. It looks crazy in this corona crisis, but yet I'm going to still rejoice. Come on, somebody. I will still lift up my mouth in praise, because a songwriter says, when trouble is in your life, sing praises. Notice the prophet didn't say, I feel like rejoicing, but instead the prophet says, I will rejoice in spite of my circumstances. Let me speak the truth and shame the devil. The fact of the matter is, some of us only praise God when circumstances are favorable to us. When life is rosy and cozy. But when trouble comes, we hold down our heads in fear and anxiety. But it's in these moments, It's in these times that our faith is tested, that we need real Christians. But for some of us, because God's character has been so consistent, even though I am facing bad times, even though I don't feel like it, I'm still going to give God praise. Because the psalmist David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. For he heard my cries. I cried unto the Lord, and he heard my cry and delivered me from all my fears. I may be sick today, but I'm still going to praise him. I don't got no money, but I'm still going to praise him. I have no job, but I'm still going to praise him. I won't let my situation stop my celebration. Let me repeat that so you can tweet or WhatsApp that I missed you. Let me say it again. I won't let my situation stop my celebration, because God has been so good. Even through this virus, I still got a job. I still have food on my table, a fine bed to sleep. Thank you, God, for your mercies on me. The prophet goes on to say, I'm done. I'm closing now. I will joy in the God of my salvation. This is the sweetest part of the sermon. In the Hebrew, these two words, rejoice and joy, are both action words. That word rejoice literally means to jump or leap. I'm going to get excited all by myself here. And the word joy means to spin around. You missed that. Let me say it again in slow motion, in slow time. Rejoice means to leap and jump. And joy means to spin around. My brothers and sisters, can you see with me in the theater of your minds, like on a flat screen plasma, 300-inch HD TV, look at that prophet on a movie picture. He's wild-haired. He's in a dusty, dismal desert with dried up trees and branches. The trees are lamenting for water. He's looking like a fool. But despite what's going on around him, Habakkuk is jumping and spinning around, and he's praising God. There is no reason for him to rejoice. There is no fig tree, no food in the pasture, no fruit on the vine, yet he's jumping and spinning around. Oh, you ain't feeling me? You're not feeling me. Okay, that's okay. There is no Walmart. There is no Publix, no IHOP, no OHOP, no Bojangles, no Burger King, no Olive Gardens, no Chick-fil-A. Yet, he's jumping and spinning around. May I suggest to you today, we all need to take a leaf out of Habakkuk's book to know how to praise God in a crisis, because Habakkuk's prayers became his songs. So when the devil sends fear and anxiety your way, all you got to do is jump and spin around, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. When the bills are due, you don't got no money. All you've got to do is jump and spin around, because God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. When you got no food on the table, just jump and spin around, because David says, I was young, but now I'm old, never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Your house is on foreclosure. You don't got no money to pay the mortgages, but just jump and spin around, because the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Yet I will rejoice. Habakkuk says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Some of us are waiting for things to turn around before you decide to praise him. But God says, sometimes, listen to me carefully, sometimes God has to dry up your fields to see if you only like the blessings or the blessor. Sometimes, like Job, God withholds his hands of mercy to allow some trouble to come into your lives for you to really seek him. And many of you have testified, and many of you can testify, that this pandemic has allowed you to humble yourself to seek God. But Job said, even though worms may eat my body, I'm going to wait till my change comes. This crisis, this corona crisis, COVID-19, has truly forced me to be more earnest on my knees, to seek after my soul's salvation, and to make it right with God. Because just the fact that I have a relationship with God is enough to praise and give him thanks. Don't praise God because of where you are. Praise God because of where he is. He is on his throne. So don't praise God for where you are. Praise God for where he is. My brothers and sisters, as I close, we are living in Earth's final stages. Ellen White, in her book, The Last Events, and even prophesied in Daniel chapter 12 and Revelation 7, as people of the book, as Seventh-day Adventists, we know that we're moving rapidly towards the time of trouble. We call it Jacob's trouble, or the final crisis. Here it is. We are living in the last days. Right now, believe it or not, Revelation 7 says, and verse 1, there are four angels holding back the winds of strife. You can't see these angels. NASA can't see these angels. They are invisible to human eyes, but they're holding back the worst disasters, the worst hurricanes. You think you've seen hurricanes yet? You think you've seen earthquakes yet? You think you've seen pestilence or viruses yet? They're holding back the worst disasters to allow God's people to be sealed with his covenant. Verse 2 says, an angel is coming from the east to seal God's people with the Sabbath in the middle of the Ten Commandments. Therefore, we're living in the time of the sealing, the shaking, and the sifting. Ellen White says, in these last moments, bright lights will fade. There are many pastors who went to school with me who are no longer as Seventh-day Adventists. There are people who I know have left the church. Bright lights with great intellect and ingenuity, mental ingenuity, but they have left the church. But God is calling on God's people to stand up and be counted. Will you accept the mark of the beast, or will you accept God's seal? Soon these four angels will release the worst natural disasters this world has ever seen. Then we will enter into a time of national crisis. When the Sunday law is enforced, we shall go into a time of trouble. When that time comes, there will be no opportunity for repentance. When the Sunday law is fully enforced across all nations and kindreds and tongue, then God's people will be sealed and the devil's people will have their mark. Recently, we saw Hurricane Eta and Hurricane Iota and all these hurricanes. In fact, meteorologists say we saw the most hurricanes in the Atlantic Ocean that I have ever seen in the last 50 years. Five hurricanes in one time. At this time, Ellen White says in her book, Last Events, as we move towards Earth's final stages, we all need to have a relationship with God for ourselves. We all will need to know God for ourselves and have an unwavering faith in the promises of God, even amidst persecution. Today, until the time of trouble comes, even as we go through the seven last plagues, I will continue to trust in God and keep praising his name. Because Daniel says in Daniel 12, at that time, Michael shall stand up for his people. Jesus Christ, our hope and salvation. Jesus, the Lion and the Lamb, Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus will stand for his people, so we have no need to fear. So my brothers and sisters, my final point is we must acclaim or plight, acclaim or praise, but accept the Lord as a provider. Because the Bible says in verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high places. So the question is, Pastor Joe, why did the prophet compare and speak about the deer's feet? The reason why I'm rejoicing, the reason why I have joy in my heart, is because although my fields are empty, it won't be empty forever. Although COVID-19 has brought about fear and fright, it won't last forever. This too shall pass. I will survive my season of shortage because God is my strength and my sustainer. The Bible says he will make my feet like deer's feet, and I shall walk on high places. The application here, deer's feet. Here it is. This is the sweetest part. In my research and my analysis of the anatomy and the physiological structure of the deer and his feet, you would realize, Sister Dion, my sister looking here at me, you would realize that the deer has split hoofs on his feet. For the deer is a mountain-dwelling animal. You're going to get your shot right soon. That oftentimes grazes and eats grass at the foot of the mountain. However, the scent of the deer's fur attracts its predators, who will seek to run after the deer to kill it. But the deer oftentimes escapes not because he runs faster than his predators, but because the deer knows how to climb mountains. It can climb higher than the enemy can reach it. I wish I had some worshipers on YouTube, on Facebook. Our enemy is the devil, but when we are wrapped up with Jesus, we can rise above the devil, rise above our fears, because the Bible says, I will make your enemies as footstools. Your haters will be your elevators. Your haters will be your elevators, because the Bible says, I, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. So yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, put your hand over your head on YouTube, on Facebook, put your hand over your head and declare it. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Forever. Forever. I ain't going nowhere. Coronavirus won't move me. Your prayers against me won't kill me. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My brothers and sisters, God is coming soon. The question is, are you ready to meet him? Don't get so caught up with fear. Don't get so caught up with the news from CNN. All the days and the times you spend to read the news, it gives your heart fear and anxiety. Turn off that television. Stop worrying and fearing. Go on your knees. Spend some time with Jesus. It's in these moments of fear that God shows us he has the faith to help us overcome all fears. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know your name nor your number. I don't know your address, but God knows every single hair on your head. He knows the tears that flow from your eyes. He knows the troubles and trials you're going through. He understands the issues of your heart. He knows that you get depressed. He understands the suicide, the thoughts that come up. But don't give up now. God is able. The mere fact that you're alive today, it shows that God is not finished with you yet. There is purpose on your life. There is hope on your life. The Bible says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on all of us today. Take control of this preaching moment. We pray for those who are broken, for those who are going through some stuff, for those who are having a difficult time to navigate their way through life's problems. Help them to know that there is a God who still answers prayer, a God who is still able and available to heal somebody from their problems, to save somebody from their fears. Because you promise us in your words, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So Lord, I lift up my hands. I pray for sweet anointing to fall on every person listening on YouTube, on Facebook. You cover somebody under your blood. You beat back the demons in somebody's life today. You'll give somebody hope to know that the money's coming soon. Help somebody to know that the job is on its way. Help somebody not to lose faith. Help them not to let the devil stop their celebration despite the situation they're in. We know that God, you are a God that will step in right on time. When all hope seems lost, that's when you step in. So help us to wait upon you. Help us to keep trusting in you. I pray for a mother who needs a job. I pray for a father who doesn't have the money to sustain his family, that you keep providing for somebody. I pray for young people who is troubled, a young person who is troubled today, wrestling with student loans, wrestling with a relationship, a toxic relationship. But I pray to help somebody to break free, break some chains, set some people free. Because whom the Son set free is truly free indeed. Take full control now of this prayer series. Be with every speaker and every weekend. And whatever they say, may it line up according to your will. And may it touch the hearts of those who need to be touched. I pray for somebody who even now is thinking of giving their life to Jesus. Help them to take that number and to dial that number on the screen. Help them to call somebody and to reach out, because time is ticking. Time is running out. God, you're coming soon. Help us to be ready. Bless us now, we pray. Be with the church. Be with the leaders of this church, Pastor Joe, Pastor Jennifer, and all the leaders and officers. Be with Sister Dion, the prayer coordinator. Be with every person on the tech team, Sister Addie on the team. Be with everybody who has participated so far. Cover them. And as they serve, may you minister to them and keep them faithful and in good health. So let the words of our mouth, meditation of our hearts, be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are all strength and all redeemer. Let everyone who loves the Lord say, amen, amen, amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.